All right, so this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Elizabeth March in case number 2482. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to authority given to the an heiress 32-22-34. People, sorry, step forward.
Can I get the complainant on the phone?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Jane, you're going to hear some silence for a minute.
Or possibly.
Okay.
Out of the office if you leave.
Jane, are you there?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm here.
Was not able to reach him at this time.
Okay. So we'll just go ahead and proceed and board staff can update accordingly, I guess. Yes? Okay. All right. Dr. Marsh and representation have already stepped forward. So please introduce yourselves.
What's your name?
Dr. Elizabeth Marsh.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Marsh.
Thank you. Dr. Marsh, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions, and if present, the complainant will also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Thompson, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, on December 11th, 2023, Smokey, AKA Gracie, a 12-year-old female domestic short hair, presented to respondent for a skin check and possibly for fleas. The cat was caught the night before by a neighbor, and the neighbor brought the cat to respondent. Respondent checked the cat for a microchip, and one was present. Respondent discussed with the neighbor to contact the microchip company, and the microchip company could potentially give owner information in case someone is looking for the cat. Diagnostics were performed, and an antibiotic injection was given. The cat was discharged with flea prevention and gabapentin. On December 19, 2023, the neighbor called respondent and stated they found the original owner, complainant. On December 20th, 2023, complainant called respondent and requested the records for the cat. Records were not released as the cat was not under complainant's name. The neighbor did not consent to respondent releasing the cat's medical records to complainant. The neighbor returned the cat to the complainant with the medications that were dispensed. On December 21st, 2023, complainant arrived at respondent's premises and demanded records for the cat. Complainant was asked to leave and a police report was filed.
I found another number for the complainant. Can I try that one too?
Yeah.
Just post a couple of our bases.
Okay.
The subscriber you have dialed is not in service.
Sounds like
if you feel you've received this...
It's like Matterhorn.
Okay.
All right. I tried.
Jane, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, Dr. Marsh, at this, can you please, let's see, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear to or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. So now we'd like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. I'd like to respond for Dr. Marsh. The statute referenced by the investigative committee is ARS section 32.2239.02. This is a new, relatively new statute that only took effect in September of 2022. Like all new statutes, it can be problematic and some terms are not defined. The statute requires a veterinarian to scan all stray dogs and cats for the presence of a microchip and make reasonable efforts to contact the owner. The legislative intent behind the statute is to facilitate the reunification of stray pets with their owners. The statute does not apply in this case because the cat that was presented to Dr. Marsh was presented as an owned animal, not as a stray. Despite the statute not applying, Dr. Marsh had the cat scanned since it was a new patient to their office, and she discovered a microchip, and the cat was ultimately reunited with the complainant, thus fulfilling the intent behind the statute. Specifically, this is what happened. The cat was presented to Dr. Marsh as an owned cat by a longtime valued clients. When the clients came in with the cat, they did not present it as a stray. Later, when Dr. Marsh was getting a history on the cat, she learned that the clients had taken it in as an abandoned cat that they had been observing in their neighborhood, had been feeding near their home for weeks prior to the appointment. The clients had named and bonded with the cat and were committed to investing financial resources for the caring of the cat going forward. They scheduled the dental down the road. You may recall from the investigative committee's discussion that they could not agree that this cat was a quote-unquote stray under the statute, or if the microchip statute even applied. In any event, Dr. Marsh did have the cat scan and discovered that there was a microchip. She then took the initiative to discuss this with her clients that the cat may have had a previous owner. She gave them the microchip information to the clients, who indicated that they would contact the microchip company. The clients did that, and the cat was ultimately reunited with the previous owner. Again, it's our position that the statute does not apply because this was not a quote-unquote stray animal. It was presented to Dr. Marsh as an owned animal that had potentially been abandoned. That is why Dr. Marsh could not accept the consent agreement and why this complaint should be dismissed with no violation. Alternatively, if you feel Dr. Marsh should have done more than what she did in this case, you may issue a letter of concern. And with that, Dr. Marsh is available to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. So, board members have any questions of Dr. Marsh?
Just if Dr. Marsh, if you could, I guess, explain again. So the people who had the kitty cat at the time brought the cat to you and said that they, how did they present the cat to you?
They said that they had the cat outdoors, that they had been feeding it for a couple of weeks and taking care of it. When they noticed it was going, what they said, kind of more downhill, they brought it in the night before to bring it to me.
Okay. So did, when they said that they had this outdoor cat that they'd been feeding for a couple of weeks, would that not suggest that the cat had not been theirs for a long period of time?
They had been taking care of it for 3 weeks, so I mean, at least. So I mean, that's the information that I got.
Okay, so I guess when we talk, because the term stray has been questioned in the rule, right? And so I guess if someone says that they started feeding this cat 3 weeks ago, at some point the animal was a stray, right? If they didn't go to a shelter and rescue, if they didn't get it from somebody else, they found this outdoor cat and they've been feeding it. Yes, at that point they've been feeding it for 3 weeks, but at some point it was a stray, correct?
Or abandoned.
Right, but yeah. If it's loose in the environment and does not have an owner attached to it, we don't, we say, we call it a stray, right? It's a loose interpretation of an animal that's wandering around.
Or abandoned.
An abandoned animal at that point becomes a stray because it's straying around the area.
But when they presented it to me, they had taken, they were claiming it. They were taking ownership of that cat. So I don't know at what point does that make that an owned animal if they are presenting it to me as a owned animal.
Right, so they've had this cat for 3 weeks, a recently acquired cat that they acquired from the outdoors that they are bringing to you for care.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Did they say anything to you that we are now taking responsibility for this cat, it's now ours, and we'll, from this point on?
They never said that it wasn't theirs. Like, when they brought it to me, it was the same as if they had brought me any of their other cats that they were fully invested in, and it was theirs. So they never said this was a stray. They never said anything along those lines. This was, they were bringing it in to get treatment and care just like any of their other cats. Yeah, and they did follow up, like they wanted to do a dental, do more further work on it.
Yeah, okay. So did they, sorry, this is Dr. Wright, they paid a bill for this, for services in full?
Yes.
And just one more question, and I know it's a big question because the law had gone into effect 2 months prior to this incident, but do you feel that you gave reasonable attempts to locate the owners?
In this case, that it was an owned animal, yes, because this wasn't a stray that was coming in. And I understand, like, if this was a stray animal, it would have been completely different in that case. But for them, they had already bonded to this cat. It was their cat in their eyes. And so for me to, I can't release their information without their consent. So all I can do is give them all resources in order to make that decision themselves. And how I did talk to them about, if this was your cat, you would want someone calling on it because you don't know the situation. We've all been around animals that have, we don't know how long they've been lost, how long owners have been looking for them. But for them, they had already bonded that was their cat. But I also have worked with these clients for years that they just needed time in that moment to, they did try contacting through the microchip for that.
So if this incident were to happen today, would you do anything different?
If they present it as an owned animal, no. But if this was a truly stray animal, that's different.
And how would you approach that?
For a stray?
Yes.
To scan, get if there is a microchip there, call, and try to reunite, which is that's everybody's goal. You do that. And I do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? No? Do you have anything to add?
Oh, just in closing, again, this is a new statute. There's always a learning curve with new statutes. Stray is not a defined term under the statute. And perhaps if it was, we wouldn't be in this gray area. But in any event, the cat was reunited with the owner. We have a happy ending. The microchip information was provided to these clients, and they took it upon themselves to investigate. And at the end of the day, we don't believe that Dr. Marsh's conduct rises to the level of any type of violation, and this complaint should be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything further from the court? Okay. So this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Thompson.
Yes, I struggle with this one, as you can see.
Yes.
I got a lot of words eventually.
Well, so from the perspective of recognizing that this went into effect and working in practice, right, making sure, you know, that we're scanning pets and stuff, when owned pets come in, you scan them, you document the microchip number, and you move right along. So that seems pretty straightforward. But yes, when it comes to strays, oh shoot, yay, oh boy, there's a microchip number, right? I have all kinds of wild stories about that don't pertain to this case particularly. However, it seems that the intent of adding this was to reunite more stray pets with their people because we are seeing more microchips, which is a win in that regard. And in this case, it was a happy ending and there was no ill intent or ignoring things. And if we use this statute as almost punitive, it seems counterproductive because then just don't scan anything that people present as owned pets, right? And then you avoid this altogether where this ended up being a happy ending. So, I mean, and again, in the state of Arizona, pets are property, right? Mm-hmm. And so they show up and they say they're the authorized agent because they filled out your cute little form. That's the only thing you have to believe as a veterinarian is that that's your pet. And I know we've seen cases where somebody's like, but that was my pet, right? And it's like, veterinarians, how do you all decide who owns what pet if somebody's standing in front of you saying, no, I am, right? That's not really the thing you have to decide. So in this case, I would agree with what the veterinarian's saying before us because she has no reason to lie about it. She wasn't trying to hide anything. So to me, I just can't see a violation with this statute. I think it's going to cause more harm than good if we discourage them from scanning microchips, again, even pets that are presented as owned.
Yeah, I think where I struggle is we're focusing on the word stray, right? And then we want to say, oh, but abandoned. But the stray animal at that point, if it doesn't have an owner, it's technically stray.
But it came in with an owner.
Right, but that person also said that they've been caring for this for an X period of time, right? So you scan it, you have a microchip. And yes, we had a happy ending at the end, right? I guess for me, what I see is that this is a new law, and how are we going to actually, what becomes an adequate way of handling it? And so is just giving somebody, well, you've had this dog for 10 days, and it looks like you really will love it. I mean, to say that they're already bonded with it, I mean, give me a puppy, I'm bonded with it in an hour, right? Like, so I think that's a really difficult piece to use as whether or not they think it's theirs. We as veterinarians market microchips to be something for us to be able to help somebody get their animal back. And so when somebody comes in and says, well, this is my dog, I've had it for 5 days or whatever it is, then we scan and say, oh, well, no, this is yours because you said it is, but yet we've just, on the flip side, we put that microchip in 5 days ago to our client at the time, right? So I think we need to figure out as veterinarians how we want to do that. I agree with you. I'm not sure that this actually rises to a level of a violation. I think a letter of concern and how to handle these situations, but I really want to make sure that we are scanning these animals and we are trying to do our due diligence and what that responsibility is of the veterinarian and the veterinary clinic to do that. Handing somebody the phone number for the microchip organization and hope that they call is not doing you due diligence.
But there's limitations there because I can't tell you how many people don't transfer their microchip registration stuff.
Oh, I know.
So then I call, I get a phone number, it's in the middle of the night, right? I don't hear back from somebody. What do I do? Do I hold that person's property that just presented the pet to me and say, oh gee, we have a microchip? And I can't say that you put this in and I have some random person's number, but I can't get a hold of them. So then it gets really hairy. Do I keep that pet from them? Do I hold it? Like there's no extra direction in this statute. So I just think that gets really dangerous.
Well, let me jump in here real quick. Because we're basically, for all us old people, defining what the definition of this is. I mean, it's what is going on here. And what we have is a very well-intentioned law that's really poorly written. The law itself, ARS 3222.39.02, duty of veterinarian to scan for presence of microchip owner notification for all stray dogs and cats brought to a veterinary premises, the veterinarian shall thoroughly scan for the presence of a microchip and make a reasonable effort to contact the owner. So we have to go through there and define those words. Now, when we look back at our stray dogs and cats, we don't have a definition of a stray cat in our statutes. If you look at section 11-1001 definitions, and that's gonna go to number 12, we have a definition of a stray dog. Stray dog means any dog 3 months of age or older running at large and is not wearing a valid license tag or microchipped. So the presence of a microchip by default makes it not a stray. So the law is really poorly written. Yeah, this is the thing.
This gets worse.
Now we do have section 3-1401 definition of a stray animal, But the stray animal, this is a lot, so I'm not going to read it all. Stray animal is used in this article to mean livestock, bison, radites, whose owner is unknown or cannot be located. We still don't have anything about a cat, but these are conflicting laws. Mm-hmm. This is a very poorly written law, and it needs to go back to legislature for a true definition. Then we also have to know what is reasonable. Mm-hmm. Is it reasonable for the veterinarian to sit there and on the phone and try and do this or pay your staff to do it, or is it reasonable to say, hey, try and contact the owner on your own. You took the responsibility to bring this animal in. You seem to care. Try and contact them and see what you can do. That seems reasonable. So I just don't see this applying at all.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, reasonable is actually making that phone call. Now, to your point, Ms. Frost, like, okay, if that does belong to somebody, well, then at that point, it's like, what do you do, right? And I can tell you what we do in our situation because we do it many, many times a day. But, you know, it's something that at least you have made that attempt, and now you've talked to the microchip company, they can contact the owner. You can leave a message for the owner, and then the owner can message you back. You don't necessarily hold it. Veterinarians are not police departments, right? We don't have that right to do that, but it is trying to make that contact. I think where my struggle is that as veterinarians, we like to talk about the microchip and how useful it is and why we should be doing these for the pets that come into our clinics, because this is the way that we are going to get them back to their owners. But yet, on the flip side, if somebody comes in and says that, yeah, this is not my animal and we have a microchip, we're not doing anything about it. So I would say I don't necessarily see a violation in this case, just maybe a letter of concern on how to try working in a process to work a process in the clinic on how to handle these types of cases in the future.
Which she told you she wouldn't do it different. So I feel like
statutorily, I don't think that argument holds water though, unfortunately. Right. I understand the intent, just like I understand the intent from the legislature, but this law is bad. This is a bad law.
I don't write them.
I know, well, me either. But we have to interpret them, and I think it's up to us to say this is not applicable. This is an invalid statute at this point, because I don't
so
see
have
it.
A motion.
It's conflicting.
Okay. Letter of concern. Yeah. Is there a second? No second.
So I'll make a motion to dismiss with no violation and direct board staff to tell the legislature to rewrite it. No, don't do that. But yeah, I understand the intent tonight. I agree. I mean, I always tried to call on my own, but I mean, the definition of reasonable is very vague and open. And I think it is reasonable to say, hey, try and call and see what happens. I mean, I think it just needs to be reworded. So I make a motion to dismiss this with no violation based on interpretation of statutes.
Second.
A motion and a second. Should we do roll call?
Sure.
For informal?
Dr. Burns, aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Madam Chair, maybe the Assistant Attorney General could offer an interpretation.
I like Dr. Bright's interpretation.
maybe we could agendize that.
We can discuss this. We can a future agendize and discuss it.
And I honestly think it wouldn't have got to this level had the medical records, and to no fault of the respondent at all, because there was no reason to relinquish those medical records, but
this was a happenstance. It's like a missing attempt.
Yep, it was just something because that, yes, they were looking for something.
Okay, so the board has voted to dismiss with no violation. This concludes the matter, and Dr. Marshall will receive a written confirmation of the board's action.
Thank you. Good discussion.